So this morning we're in week three of our current series, Small Things Make a Big Difference. And just in case you missed the first 2 weeks, please go onto our website tomorrow and download all the sermons tomorrow. They will be up there tomorrow. But in a nutshell, John started the series a couple of weeks ago out of the book of Zechariah, chapter 4, verse 6 to 10. And he revealed to us out of that text that whenever you face a mountainous task in front of you, when you're really up against it, we are reminded that our God is bigger than any mountain we face. Remember that? And that the Spirit, the same power that lives in us, is the same power that rose Jesus from the grave. It's the same power able and willing to flatten any mountain in front of you. Remember that? If not, just go listen to it again. But we were challenged right at the end of John's sermon to not just stare at our mountain in despair, but maybe just pick up a little shovel and with the power of God in us, just take a dig at one little rock, hey? And chuck it into that barrow. And he kind of drew it back into our local church context. This is still attached to me. There you go. Into our local church context where he challenged us with our little spade to maybe, in terms of our thank offering, that's your spade, to help us tackle our mountainous task in front of us, or greeting someone at the door. That could be the small thing that will make a big difference in this church and in this world. So that was week one. And then week two, last week, John preached on that small little thing called? Oi. That dropped like a ton of bricks, all right? That small little thing called hope, hey? That we're going to hold on to hope when things get tough, but the hope, most importantly, the hope in Christ, especially the hope for when he comes again, that when things get tough, we just look at the end goal, heaven, and we hold on to that hope when things get tough. And so now today, this morning, we're going to look at what Jesus teaches in Matthew chapter 12. Now, a little context before we start reading that. Jesus had just healed a man's hand, a shriveled hand, on the Sabbath. And the Pharisees are like, oh, this guy is breaking our laws. We're going to sort him out. They start plotting to kill Jesus. So Jesus tries to get away from them, and he does that successfully. But the large crowds follow him. And many, many people get healed. And Jesus is like, don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody. And what do they all do? They go and tell everybody. You know, it's just like, they didn't even listen to Jesus. But anyway. And then someone brings a demon-possessed man to Jesus. This man could never speak. You know, he was completely deaf. And Jesus heals him. And then the Pharisees in that very moment go, it's by the power of Beelzebub, the prince of all demons, that he's able to do these things. What blasphemy, eh? What disrespect. After someone has just done a miraculous thing in front of them, they go and label him the most corrupt person, and not even the most corrupt person, but someone that's got this prince of demons in him, and that's why he can do it. And in that moment, Jesus doesn't clap them, but he tells them in a very brief moment that no house divided against itself could ever stand. And if you don't get that, well, just watch a bit of rugby, and you'll totally understand the concept. If any team would play against another team, and all they do for 80 minutes is tackle their own players, that team will lose horribly. The other team would go, what are these folks doing? Quite like, yes, that's hilarious. Some of you caught that. It's awesome, okay? But that's what Jesus was trying to tell these guys. But they still didn't get it, and they still like told horrible things about Jesus. And that's where we pick up the rest of the story, where he goes, okay, they're not getting this house divided, this rugby team playing against itself analogy. They're not getting that. So let's teach them a bit more about the power of your words. Such a small thing can make a big difference in this world. So let's read that together from Matthew chapter 12. And if you're on the app or on your Bible, we'll do that together. Matthew chapter 12, verse 33 to 37. And you might want to keep that app open because I'm going to refer back to some verses throughout the sermon. Verse 33, make a tree good and its fruits will be good, or make a tree bad and its fruits will be bad. For a tree is recognized by its fruits. You brood of vipers, How can you who are evil say anything good? For the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. A good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him. An evil man brings evil things out of the evil stored up in him. But I tell you that everyone will have to give an account on the day of judgment for every empty word they have spoken. For by your words you will be acquitted, and by your words you will be condemned. Now, before we dive into the application of this text this morning, I want you to think back of a time in your life where someone's words really inspired you or completely wrecked your life. Or where your words really inspired and changed someone's life or completely wrecked it. And with that in the back of your mind, let's go through this text together. Verse 33, make a tree good and its fruits will be good. Now we can all agree that that analogy is pretty easy to understand, right? And Jesus and God actually know this quite well because he uses this quite often. If you're taking notes, he uses it in Matthew 3, Matthew 7, obviously in Matthew 12, and in Luke 13. He uses the tree and fruit analogy quite often. So I think he gets it. And I think he knows that we can kind of get how a tree works. It's not rocket science, hey? But the first question that comes to mind for us this morning is, what kind of tree are you? Galatians 5 provides us with quite a detailed list of good fruits and bad fruits, remember? And if you want to figure out what kind of tree you are, you can go and look at those and kind of determine by yourself whether you're a good or a bad tree. But let's, this morning, just focus on this text and let it help us determine whether we're good or bad trees. Verse 34, for the mouth speaks what the heart is full of. In order for us to determine whether we're a good tree, let us carefully consider the words we use. When you speak in your everyday life and people interact with you, would they label you as a good Christian oak? Did anybody catch? No. Hi. Come on. Hey? Where's the drum roll? Like, I wrote that in there. John was like, that, hopefully they catch it because that is good. Anyway, that felt like a ton of bricks. Hey, John and I, what are we going to do with you, Ox? Tried it again. Okay, it's not working. Okay, let's just move on. Will they label you as a good Christian tree, where the fruit that you produce is consistent with the label you bear? Or do they, like Jesus, when he walked up to the fig tree, experience the complete opposite, where they expect a good Christian response or a good Christian word or good Christian work ethic, but there are no fruits on your tree, or the fruits that you produce ain't figs. There's something else. Friends, if you're still struggling, they will know we are Christians by our... the song. They will know we are Christians by our love. Now that's one of the fruits of the Spirit. All right, so if your friends can see from a distance that you're a Christian by your fruits, then that helps you kind of determine whether you're a good or a bad tree. But if your friends from a distance go, I'm not going to eat anything off that tree. Like the worms are just going to peel out of the apple. It's disgusting. If your friends give you an honest opinion, that might help you determine whether you're a good or a bad tree. Now this morning you might be sitting here going, okay, Jan, I'm just kind of looking at my life at the moment and the words that I use, and maybe I just want to become a bit better tree. Maybe I just need a... What do I need to do, Jan, to become a better tree? And I want to borrow a slogan from one of the famous sports drinks out there. It's what you put in. It's what you put in. And that's kind of common sense, eh? It's what you feed your tree. It's what you put into your hearts that will determine what we produce. Hey? Like a sausage machine, that just makes sense. If you put in meat, meat will come out on the other side. But if you put in apples... apples come out on the other side. You're allowed to interact, okay? Now, let's bring this tree feeding analogy home. If all you ever eat is McDonald's, soon you won't just look like a Big Mac, but your words, your work ethic, and even your character will become fast food. Hey? And the food that you produce, the nutritional value will be so low that when you face a mountain in your life, any sportsman will tell you, if all you eat is McDonald's, you won't last a lap around life's track. You won't be able to climb the Drakensberg, never even call about Everest. Hey? Drakensberg's easy, I've climbed it. Let's not talk about Everest, okay? But any sportsman will tell you that their diet is carefully worked out, that when they train, it helps them grow stronger, so that when they've got to face that big 200-kilogram prop from the Crusaders, they can tackle the guy because they haven't had McDonald's, they had a good steak the previous day. Yes. Now, friends, the same applies spiritually, but it's far deeper than that. If we only feed our hearts with McDonald's fast food sermons, we are never ready for life's challenges. If we don't feed ourselves with something more nutritious than just a 20-minute sermon on a Sunday, our faith in God will simply remain a fast food faith. Our faith in God will simply remain a 20-minute faith. And when the storms of this life come, all we'll ever be able to deal with is a 20-minute storm. Because that's all we've got in the tank. That's all we've been fed. We might even have 20-minute little fruits and apples on our tree. People are like, okay, I'll have some of that. And you're like, well, what about me? If all we ever feed ourselves is a Sunday sermon, that's all our faith will ever be. We've got to take our spiritual nourishment a bit further. Imagine just eating McDonald's once a week. Okay, you might be able to live until Sunday. Okay, with all the junk they put in there, the preservatives and stuff. But once that storm hits, or you've got to run that lap of life, we all know that McDonald's won't carry you the way. So friends, download study materials. Like on our Bible app, on the live app, if you go down to the bottom, there is a devotional plan there for you. Click start the plan at 6 days. And click yes, because you'll see, do you want your friends to see your plan activity? Yes. And then you're feeding yourselves past this sermon on a Sunday. Because come on, friends, we know this isn't enough. We need to grow more than just today. And then we will be able to grow into trees that bear fruit and bring glory to God. Where your friends look at you and go, hey man, the love apples on that tree are huge. They're massive. That person is so filled with love and peace. And you can then tell them, well, trust me, this doesn't just happen on a Sunday. I spend 5 minutes or 20 minutes every day feeding on God's word, feeding my tree, helping me grow into a strong Christian oak. And hopefully now we get that analogy. The fruits of a person's life will show the quality of his or her character. If you're sitting here today and you've come to realize that your words and your actions, your fruits are not consistent with the name that you bear, friends, could I say, don't worry so much about the fruits right now. Don't worry so much about that. Your words and fruits are a matter of the heart. We all need our hearts checked. We all need to make sure that our hearts are right. Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God, and all the other things will fall in place. Allow God to first reign in your heart. And when he reigns in your heart, just like the text says, a good man brings up good things out of the good stored up in him. If your heart is filled with the good things of God, your mouth will just overflow with the good things of God. So let God into that heart. Let him come in and clean up the heart this morning. We all need a spiritual health check. Now, I think most of us every year go for a normal health check. And some of us kind of go and we're like worried and because the doctor might diagnose that we've got left pimple syndrome, and you're worried. But rather get that left pimple diagnosed early and treated before it becomes this horrible thing on your face where your friends go, the fruit, it's rough. Friends, this morning, allow God to put that stethoscope on your heart. What will he hear if he did that this morning? If he scanned your heart this morning, what would he see? Would he see rotten rooms filled with pride and greed and all the other bad fruits of the Spirit, fruits of the world? Or will he see the fruits of the Spirit in there? And he might be sitting here this morning going, wow, God is inspecting my heart right now, and I'm not quite sure about the fruits I'm producing. Remember, friends, verse 34, the mouth speaks of what the heart is full of. Verse 35, a good man brings good things out of the good stored up in him by our words and by our actions. May God and every other person on earth see that you are indeed a Christian. May your fruits reveal who you are in the name that you bear. And so as we look at our words, as we look at our actions, what are they revealing of our hearts at the moment? You might be sitting here today going, yes, my words do condemn me. Like we've read earlier on, your words will condemn you on the day of judgment. But friends, your words will also acquit you. And you might be sitting here this morning going, yes, I have said something to my son, my daughter, my spouse, a family member, a friend, a colleague, that has brought disgrace to God's name and to the name that you bear. May your words acquit you this morning as you confess to the Lord and say, Father, I know that I have sinned. Please come into this wretched heart of mine. Come and clean it up so that I can once again bring glory to your name by the words I use and by my actions. So allow God to come in this morning. For every word we've spoken, we will need to give an account for on the day of judgment. Every empty word, friends. And so Jesus knows that just saying to us, mark your words, boy, and mark them well, is not good enough. You can eat as much chilies as you like. It will only change your taste buds, and my wife would like that. Hey? It will only change your taste buds. You and I need to allow God into our hearts, because out of our hearts flow goodness or evil. We must recognize, not like the Pharisees, eh? Where they saw Jesus and the good that he was doing, and what uttered their mouths? Shame, disgrace, blasphemy. Are those the words that utter your mouth when you see goodness, when you see Jesus, or when others see you and you bear the name of Christ? Do they kind of go, Christian? Or do they go, wow, even when he's got a bit of a rotten fruit on one of his branches, he confesses that rotten fruit. He says, I'm sorry, I threw a rotten apple into your face today. Please forgive me. May we do the same thing this morning. As the Spirit convicts us this morning of our words and our actions, may we allow the Spirit this morning to come into our hearts to clean it up. Revelation 3:20, I stand at the door and knock. Anyone who hears my voice and opens that door, I will come in and dine with him. Allow God to come in and dine with you this morning. If you've been convicted this morning of your words and your actions, allow him to come in and say, yeah, let's get rid of this very old stale bucket of apples. Let's throw it outside. Let's clean up the heart first this morning. Allow God in there, and then eventually what we say, what we do, will bring glory to his name. Today, that's the small thing you can do that will make a big difference. The small thing to allow God in, to clean up your act, so that your words and actions would bring glory to him. So that verse 37, your words will acquit you today. Today, friends, let your words of confession acquit you. So that when the day of judgment comes, the Lord says, come, good and faithful servant. Welcome home. Because in your earthly life, your words and actions brought honor to my name and not disgrace or blasphemy. So today, friends, confess your need for God to clean up your act, your heart. Today, allow Him in to nourish and feed you past a Sunday morning sermon. Sign up for those devotional plans. Download study material. Buy a study Bible. Go to a Bible study. Make sure that you are fed. Make sure that the heart is nourished so that your words and actions are consistent with what you say and what you do. In Jesus' name, amen. Let us pray together.